Today on Seculo, in his first primetime speech, President Biden takes credit for the vaccine and forgets Operation Warp Speed, trying to rewrite the history of President Trump in that unprecedented effort. We'll talk about that and more today as we're joined by Rick Rennell on Seculo.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Seculo Live. Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. And now, your host, Jordan Seculo.
Welcome to Seculo. We are taking your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. On this Friday, a lot to talk about. President Biden makes his first formal address to the nation. He focuses in on COVID, but immediately he's got to take a dig. Instead of the unity president, he takes a dig at former President Trump and his administration. Take a listen.
A year ago, we were hit with a virus that was met with silence and spread unchecked. Denials for days, weeks, then months. That led to more deaths, more infections, more stress, and more loneliness. Photos and videos from 2019 feel like they were taken in another era. The last vacation, the last birthday with friends, the last holiday with extended family. While it was different for everyone, we all lost something, a collective suffering, a collective sacrifice.
You know, here's what he's forgetting. A year ago, President Trump put in place Operation Warp Speed. We now have vaccines across the country. I'm getting my first of two shots this afternoon because of where I live. I am eligible. I made my reservation online. In fact, it was pretty easy to do so. There were a lot of different times. The tough time for me was because I'm on the broadcast every day, and so had to make sure it was not going to impact me being able to be on the air. But now I've got my first shot. I mean, this is, again, he acted like the Trump administration did nothing. What about the 15 days to stop the spread? The Trump administration listened to Fauci, was told by the CDC, don't wear a mask, then was told, do wear a mask. But they were listening to the scientists, and the scientists just couldn't figure it out. But behind the scenes, President Trump, Harry, was making sure that regardless of all the what to do then, that we were gonna beat this virus in about a year, and we're on track to do that.
Absolutely. So one of the things that we should keep in mind is that Biden now takes credit for the vaccine. He forgets that the vaccines were available, A, before he took office. B, he even took the vaccine himself in December 2020. And now Biden is calling for national unity. Jordan, the first step toward national unity, in my opinion, is to tell the American people the truth. And Joe Biden seems incapable of telling the American people the truth. Instead, he and the vice president have engaged in willful, in my judgment, deception in order to blame President Trump. And that is unwarranted. And secondly, in order to take credit for President Trump's achievements.
Well, he did it again, too. We can play it quickly, Bite 17, because he misrepresents when the vaccine was even available.
When I took office 50 days ago, only 8% of the Americans after months, only 8% of those over the age of 65 had gotten their first vaccination. Today, that number is 65%.
Thad, when he came into office, the vaccines were just being approved. I mean, that's not surprising that it was only a small percent that actually, when he got into office, had actually gotten the vaccine. They were just being approved with Operation Warp Speed within a year. Now, 50 days later, a lot more people have had it. It looks like Thad's mic is muted. We will come back. We'll be joining you. Rick Rennell's joining us in the third segment of the broadcast. We'll be right back on Seculo.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
I think Kevin McCarthy, GOP leader, tweeted out exactly right. President Biden's plan is to rely on the work that has already been done by Operation Warp Speed. That was by President Trump and his administration. That's why only 9% of his, quote, relief bill went to defeating the virus. What Americans need now is to fully reopen our economy and our classrooms. I can't agree more. Now, again, he loves confusion, Joe Biden. And I'll go to Than after this one because the guy, he loves to get us all confused. What can we actually do once we're vaccinated? If our whole home is vaccinated and travel. But by the way, you're not banned from travel right now, even if you're not vaccinated. So this, I guess, is looking more towards international travel. Those guidelines aren't clear yet. But take a listen to President Biden, Byte 24.
In the coming weeks, we will issue further guidance on what you can and cannot do once fully vaccinated to lessen the confusion, to keep people safe, and encourage more people to get vaccinated.
Now, Than, I'm okay with guidance. What I don't like is when a president says, we're going to tell you what you can and cannot do once you've done what we've asked you to do, which was get fully vaccinated. At that point, I think we have common sense. If you're still in large groups and you don't know who's there, and you want to protect other people, you probably wear a mask. If you are at home and you know who's been vaccinated and who hasn't, you know that you don't have to wear those masks, and you can be a little more chill about it. I don't know if I need the government telling me what I can and cannot do, because again, to me, that's setting up that dangerous precedent that they're going to have another round of rules for all of us.
Yeah, to me, this is the most dangerous and troubling part of the speech, Jordan. And honestly, I don't think the American people would abide by it if they went down that track. I kind of distilled the speech this way, sort of two main things. The American people, number one, they want access to the vaccine. And number two, they want this administration focused on how to fully open the economy, fully open schools, fully open businesses. And Jordan, the conversation you had with Harry about access to the vaccine, point number one, absolutely spot on. I mean, the president already had his vaccine when he took office. I don't know how you forget that. And to Senator Scott's point, this goal of 100 million vaccines in the first 100 days, that works out to 1 million shots a day. Well, that pace was being hit when he took office as well. So sort of point number one of the speech, that was accomplished by the last administration. Jordan, it's time for this administration to pivot to point number two. Not issuing guidance to tell people what they can and can't do. No, working towards making sure that the economy can fully open, because point number one was accomplished by the last administration. Jordan, to me, it was a miss on where to focus. The American people want this administration to get them back to work.
They know the vaccines are there. They want more availability. It sounds like, I mean, the one thing Biden says by May, that everybody should be available, shouldn't be any more of those tiers systems. But they still got to see the infrastructure to get it out. Focus on that. Focus on getting us back to open. And I think Joe Biden would get a lot of credit, because his credit would be in that taking the vaccine that the Trump administration was able to create at that unbelievable speed, getting it into the arms of people so that we reopen the economy, instead of still being confused about whether or not we're ever going to have air travel without masks. Are we ever going to have access to federal buildings without masks? That's after the National Guard stands down, I guess. And then are we ever going to reopen courts in a normal way so that we're not doing all of our court work by Zoom? I mean, there's so many questions. Well, maybe July 4th, Joe Biden says. Maybe on the 4th of July, which, by the way, of all the days to say, this is the day we'll just let you go wild and crazy. You know, wherever you are, this is the day we're going to come into contact with potentially the most people if this is direction. I don't know if that's right either. Picking out a holiday to be the time when we can all just go wild. Take a listen. Bite 25.
I promise I will do everything in my power. I will not relent until we beat this virus. But I need you, the American people. I need you. I need every American to do their part. And that's not hyperbole. I need you. I need you to get vaccinated when it's your turn and when you can find an opportunity. And to help your family, your friends, your neighbors get vaccinated as well. Because here's the point. If we do all this, if we do our part, if we do this together, by July the 4th, there's a good chance you, your families and friends will be able to get together in your backyard or in your neighborhood and have a cookout and a barbecue and celebrate Independence Day.
I don't know about all of you, but I'm in a red state. We've been doing that. That was, you know, we've been doing it because that was safe. We've been having outside barbecues since last summer when the vaccine was raging. Pools were still open. People didn't have masks on outside at the pool. It was hot, 100 degrees. And so if that's the goal, Harry, that goal has already been met by a lot of states. We're already operating that way. That is not reopening business. That is having a small group of friends in your backyard barbecue.
Absolutely. So one of the things to keep in mind with respect to Joe Biden, and he never seems to surprise me in terms of his inability to discuss common sense facts. And I think the American people were rightly puzzled by his speech last night, because he suggested that vaccine eligibility would increase by May. Well, it has been increasing. It was increasing before he took office. And he suggests now, in a free country, we should be prepared to get together with our family on July the 4th. It's far from clear to me that in a free country, we need Joe Biden's permission to do that. And also, we should note that the coronavirus rates, infection rates, and death rates have been plummeting for some time. So if you look at representative infection rates from Maryland, for instance, and for the rest of the nation, there has been a steady and significant drop in those rates over the last several weeks. For example, in Maryland, the 7-day infection rate, which stood at 52 for every 100,000 persons on January the 14th, dropped to 16.9 on February the 14th. They continue to drop. The death rate continues to drop, and the national numbers show similar declines as well. So if you actually look at the facts, if you actually understand the science, then you should welcome the American people to the land of the free and the home of the brave. And that means bureaucrats in Washington should not be able to control our lives. And one final point. President Biden has suggested his commitment to unity. And this is highly ironic because for the last 18 months or so, he has demonstrated his commitment to disunity and to being divisive. And as I said earlier, if he wants unity, he ought to tell the truth and he ought to give President Trump credit for his accomplishments.
Hope then would be that, you know, by July, with all these vaccines out there, by May and everybody, and then all being going into effect, let's see, by mid-May, then people that had them by mid-May, everything should be good by 2 weeks into that. I mean, that you could travel again, that you could conduct business again, you could reopen at 100% capacity, not have a backyard barbecue with friends. That sounds wonderful. I'm not sure there were many of us who didn't have maybe pre-existing serious conditions, but many of us, you know, our age, young people who weren't doing that already over the last year. I mean, that was already being done. And that is not hope. That is not where we hope to get, is that I can have a small group of friends over in my backyard. What about the restaurant? Can we all go out to eat together at 12 at a table without mask on? Can we jump on a flight and go on a group vacation together? Can we do a road trip and all be in the same house and then have dinner out at restaurants? Can I reopen my business, you know, that's in the shopping center? That's what hope really would be. That's what setting a timeline for that is a lot more important to me than a July 4th barbecue.
Yeah, and I think even more important than a date, Jordan, is when you're fully vaccinated. I mean, when you're fully vaccinated, that's the time for the government to be openly acknowledging that the ability to make those decisions rest on an individual level. Look, we've been very clear on this broadcast, Jordan, you know, unlike some, but the virus was real. People should be smart, and you've got to trust people to make decisions once they're inoculated against it. And we're getting there, Jordan. You know, I would just quickly tie it to this line that President Biden made, too, that he thinks America has lost faith in the ability to deliver big things. I don't think that's true, Jordan. I think the American people look back at the last year and the fact that they're getting vaccinated a year after this virus became known as having accomplished big things. And now that I think they're going to demand that they retain that right to say, okay, what is smart for me at this moment? I'm fully vaccinated. I'm going to return back to normal. That's not a decision, Jordan, that the federal government should maintain.
No, it is not. Folks, we are going to continue to take your phone calls. 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. If you want to talk to us on air, Rick Rennell, our senior advisor for foreign affairs and national security, joining us next on Seculo. We'll be right back.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our matching challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
Rick Rennell is joining us, our senior advisor for foreign policy, national security. And Rick, I want to talk to you first about what we were just talking about, which was Biden's speech last night. This idea, this hope, this goal, one, ignoring the fact that we have the vaccines is because of Operation Warp Speed. That we got into that. But number two, his big goal is that by July 4th, you're going to have a small group of friends in your backyard for a barbecue. That is not the goal American people are looking for. They're looking to reopen their business, figure out how to travel again, how to do it safely, getting their kids. When we're talking about July, you're already thinking kids back to school in August. That's and colleges as well. That's the big goals. We've all been doing the socially distanced backyard barbecues as long as you didn't have a serious health risk during this entire crisis.
Yeah, I mean, look, Jordan, this is laughable. This is the Washington, D.C. bubble at its best. They literally think that we haven't been barbecuing. Yeah. They think that we haven't been seeing people. They think they control us. Joe Biden actually waving his finger at the American people to mask up and keep, you know, social distancing. They're so out of touch, they actually think that we've been doing this, and we haven't. I mean, people got together last July 4th for barbecues. Yeah. People have been having Memorial Day and Labor Day barbecues. And the idea that they are believing that for the last year we have been following their rules is ridiculous. And what we really do need is for people to stand up. I think it's time for Americans to recognize we have our freedoms. The president of the United States doesn't control our mask, doesn't control who we see. That is ludicrous. And people have got to start standing up and doing, exercising their freedoms.
Well, you know, your governor, Gavin Newsom, he was at Dodger Stadium, and he doesn't want us to go back to normal. Normal's not good enough for him. Take a listen, Byte 43.
You know, when this pandemic ends, and it will end soon, we're not going to go back to normal. Because I think we all agree, normal was never good enough. You know, normal accepts inequity.
So, Rick, we're going right back from, we're not going back to normal, we're going back to another progressive talking point, which is we've got to bring everybody up, they have to all get the same thing. Not that we all have an equal shot, but that we all have to get the same exact life. That we're all going to be given the same life. So, but again, he's under a lot of pressure. Tell people, because you're a Californian, the signature drive has hit over, that was the goal, over 2 million signatures. You need 1.5 million, so it's tough for them to now, I think pretty tough for him to survive at least being recalled.
So a couple of things. One, Gavin Newsom is wrong. Californians are desperate to go back to normal. We want normal. We like normal. Normal is good. Normal is a return to gyms open, churches open, schools open. This idea that normal was bad is more politics from this guy. Gavin Newsom knows nothing but politics. Remember, he closed the beaches because he said closing the beaches was what the science said that he had to do. So Californians across the board just recognize that this is a simple mismanagement issue. I think politicians may be able to be governors of medium-sized states, but in a big state like California, we can't have just politicians who do this identity politics stuff and cancel culture and politicize everything that we have. So you're right that everyday Californians have risen up. They've been signing a petition to recall Gavin. Next week, on the 17th of March, is the deadline. So we have a few more days to gather the signatures. Once that March 17th deadline hits, then we will have a verification of those signatures, a process that largely is overseen by our Secretary of State, but the counties get involved. Once they certify the signatures and they say, yes, you have achieved 1.5 million verified signatures, then the Secretary of State, she gets to decide when the election, a special election, would be. And then voters have to go to the poll and they get asked two questions. The first question is, should Gavin Newsom be recalled? The second question is, who should replace him if he is recalled? The first question has to get 50% of those voting in order for the second question to kick in and for Gavin to be recalled. And then on the second question, it's winner take all, whoever gets the most votes.
Interesting. So, I mean, because I think that the American people, first of all, we have a lot of California listeners or all over the state, but there's people all over the country who want to know exactly the process there. So we'll get, as that gets closer to, we'll keep coming back to you, Rick, about that. Because, one, you know, it's interesting to me that I bet they're going to be very closely certifying these signatures, not so much like the last election
Jordan,
cycle.
You won't be surprised that for the first time in the history of California, they have the most aggressive signature verification process that you've ever seen, including if your signature touches the signature box, they are saying that they're going to throw it out because the rules are you can't touch the box. So this is how ridiculous this process is. And remember, our Secretary of State, she's brand new.
Yep.
And she was appointed by Gavin Newsom because our other Secretary of State, who was elected, just became our U.S. Senator to replace Kamala Harris.
So, you know, before we, I want to get to the next issue, which just briefly with you, which is finally the Biden administration starting to acknowledge what's happening to the Uyghurs in China, that genocide there. Do you think it's just, you know, a little tongue-in-cheek here, but maybe Gavin Newsom doesn't want to go back to normal because not so easy to get into the French Laundry then and other places like that? You know, he's enjoyed just kind of picking and choosing as the executive of the state of California where he gets to eat?
Yeah, well, you know what he needs to do is he needs to stop playing politics with restaurants and churches, and he needs to just go back to the idea that a governor is a manager, and we need somebody who can manage the state, remove politics, and not turn everything in the state of California into identity politics, which is what he's done. It's become a left-wing progressive state instead of the greatest state in the 50 states and a leading economy of the world.
Let me ask you finally, so the Biden administration through the White House has admitted there is genocide against the Uyghurs in China, by the communist Chinese Communist Party. We've only got about a minute here, Rick, but the question is, will it mean anything to the Biden administration? I mean, it should when they recognize genocide is ongoing, but will they build a coalition? Will they try to move the Olympics? Will they threaten to boycott the Olympics? I have serious doubts about the Biden administration doing anything that anti-China.
No, they won't. They won't. They've already shown their cards. They've already messed up. They blinked when they said that this was past tense a genocide.
Yeah.
It took them days to come back around and change that. China loves it. The message has been sent around the world that they are going to be weak on China, and this was just another example.
All right. As always, great to have Rick Rennell on to get us up to speed on what's happened in California, COVID, China. So much to talk about. As always, Rick, have a great weekend. Thanks for joining us as usual as part of the team at the ACLJ. Folks, support the work of the American Center for Law and Justice. We've got, you know, we've had Mike Pompeo, we got Rick Rennell, we've got them all on the team because of your financial support of the ACLJ. And this is a matching challenge month. Matching challenge month. It means whatever you donate at ACLJ.org, another donor will match that donation. So you double the impact of your donation to ACLJ. Donate today. Second half hour coming up next on Seculo.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
We will fight for the Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live. And now, your host, Jordan Sekulow.
Think about this week with Rick Renau, with Mike Pompeo, and how much you can learn by listening to our broadcast in an entertaining way, too, because they're team members, not just contributors. They're not just guests of the broadcast coming to talk about something, you know, one single issue. That can be important, too. We have guests like that occasionally on our broadcast, but they are members of the ACLJ team. It's because of your financial support. We have a matching challenge this entire month of March. Donate online. Double the impact of your donation at ACLJ.org. Now, here's something else Joe Biden said that I can't let go, because, I mean, I don't think it's true for half the country. For half the country, regardless of what you think about how the election turned out, half the country doesn't agree with Joe Biden. Take a list of Byte 30.
You know, and there's something else we lost. We lost faith in whether our government and our democracy can deliver on really hard things for the American people.
It was the left, Thad, telling us that President Trump was crazy. You could never get a vaccine in a year. That's giving up hope. That's losing faith in what our country can deliver and what the American people can do when we put our minds to it. They did that over a year ago. They still do that when Gavin Newsom says, we're not going to go back to normal. Normal's not enough.
Jordan, I think he's flat wrong on this. I really do. I mean, to your point, the left said that the rollout of a vaccine on this timeline was not possible, and now they're lauding it as a very good thing. So I don't know how it can be both things. Can it be a historic achievement that the vaccine is rolling out and that the Americans have lost faith in the ability to do great things? It can't be both, Jordan. And I think it's pretty telling that he would include that in the speech. And, you know, I know we've kind of moved on from this topic, Jordan, but I can't help but mention this with your conversation with Rick Renau. I'm really glad, Jordan, really glad we're making progress in the state of California and convincing them that verifying voter signatures is a good thing. I'm glad they've come our way on that.
Yeah, we'll see if they come our way on that when it comes to actual elections, presidential elections, midterm elections that determine the outcome of the House, the Senate, which is coming up soon, and then, of course, the next presidential election. I imagine not. I imagine they will not, because they know that the people who signed this recall are predominantly those who would be opposed to Newsom. That means they would be not likely Democrat voters for the most part. Though I bet there's a lot of Democrats in there who are just sick and tired of the way he's run their business into disaster, into bankruptcy. I mean, Harry, this idea that, you know, it's because there's so much going on all across the country, but California does set the way, and it's a very important state economically. If this recall goes through, it looks like their signatures are going to be there. It was interesting to hear from Rick what happens next, which is not that he's just gone, but that 50% of the people have to vote to then recall when they have the vote. And then whoever wins the most votes in that second vote, if you get to the second vote, they become governor. So it's a real toss-up in that state about who takes the leadership reins, but says a lot about how bad Newsom's leadership that even in the midst of a pandemic, people are willing to potentially bet on somebody totally different.
I think that is correct, and I think Gavin Newsom, the governor of California, in addition to President Biden, have offered the American people what one commentator calls a post-pandemic dystopia, a dark and hopeless and perhaps clueless approach to life after the coronavirus. I think the American people deep down are hopeful. And that was one of the things that the left hated about President Trump. He was hopeful about the future of American, of Americans, and of America, and large swaths of our country gravitated to that message of hope. And I think in California, the Californians will have a stark choice with respect to the recall, and I certainly hope they make the right one.
I encourage you, give us a call at 1-800-684-3110. Something interesting coming up next you might not have known. This morning, I addressed the United Nations Human Rights Council. And I'm not kidding. It's not a joke. And it's we live in a different time, remember? So think about that as we go into the break. How did Jordan in the studio address the UN Human Rights Council in Geneva this morning? Well, you'll find out when we come back on Sekulow.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
So we are going to get back to, again, Biden. We're going to get back to the speech last night, his first major address to the country, his big goal that by July 4th he could have a barbecue. Thanks, President, Mr. President, because I couldn't have one yesterday or this weekend if I wanted to on my private property. Mindset of liberals. But what I was telling you before the break is we actually did, the European Center for Law and Justice is recognized special status with the United Nations and specifically the United Nations Human Rights Council. We wanted to highlight the persecution of Christian, specifically Christian children in Nigeria by both girls and boys by Islamic militant groups. So because of COVID-19, they are in session there at the Human Rights Council. So you'll see in this clip, I'll be called on by the chair of the Human Rights Council at the time. I'll begin my remarks because they are not having outside guests present, but they still are giving you that opportunity. So we took full advantage of it at the ACLJ and through the European Center for Law and Justice. I've got a blog up at the ACLJ called Presenting Before the UN Human Rights Council to Condemn the Increasing Radical Islamic Violence Against Christians, Particularly Children, in Nigeria. For those of you listening, this will all make sense too. Listen to how they call on us from the European Center for Law and Justice. And to my remarks, they're brief. There's only about a minute and a half. Take a listen.
I pass the floor to the European Center for Law and Justice.
The ECLJ would like to alert members to the extremely troubling violence plaguing the citizens of Nigeria, especially children. Violence at the hands of armed militant groups who target children has become all too common. For instance, around 1 a.m. on February 26, 2021, armed militants raided a government girls' secondary school located in northwest Nigeria. The gunmen broke into the school, fired their weapons, rounded up the schoolgirls, and then kidnapped nearly 300 girls by packing some into vehicles and forcing others on foot into a nearby forest. Just recently, the girls were released, with no indication as to whether the government paid a ransom for their release. Less than a week before, militants attacked another school. In December 2020, armed militants kidnapped over 300 boys from a school. Similarly, the boys were later released after negotiations. These attacks are still indicative of the escalating violence against children occurring in Nigeria. We have repeatedly told you the story of Leah Sheribu, who was abducted along with 110 other schoolgirls. To this day, she still remains in captivity. We have also seen an alarming uptick in religiously motivated attacks against Christian populations by radical Islamic militias such as Boko Haram and the Fulani herdsmen. The ECLJ respectfully calls upon Nigeria to take the action that's necessary to protect its children and calls upon members to assist Nigeria to end this crisis. Immediate action must be taken to secure the release of all children who are being held in captivity and prevent similar incidents from occurring in the future. We need your support to continue our efforts globally through our international offices at the United Nations and to maximize the use of our official status as an NGO, non-governmental organization, at the United Nations. Help us continue to maximize this work. ACLJ.org, matching challenge, double the impact of your donation. It's the time to donate. Donate today.
I just wanted to make sure you all knew the breadth of the scope, the work that we're doing. It's not just a radio broadcast. These international offices are conducting serious work, and that's just an example way we're able to show you, again, the work that we do. If you were just listening right now, I encourage you to come back and watch this episode so you can see that, or at least check out the blog, which has that video in it, shows us being called on, shows the presentation being made. So even in the age of COVID, when we're not able to travel to Geneva to deliver those remarks, we're working with our team in France, where our European Center for Law and Justice is based, so we can take full advantage of the rights that we have as a recognized group to bring these issues to light. But I do want to get back to the Biden issue as well. I think that probably the easiest way to do it is by starting with Joe Biden's debate with President Trump. You probably all remember this line in Bite 53, but take a listen.
Just look around. It's not this bad in Canada or Europe or Japan or almost anywhere else in the world. And the president keeps telling us the virus is going to disappear. He keeps waiting for a miracle. Well, I have news for him. No miracle is coming.
Okay, that was in August. Now it's March. So not that long. Now I guess Joe Biden, hallelujah, Bite 32.
America is coming back. The development, manufacture, and distribution of vaccines in record time is a true miracle of science. It's one of the most extraordinary achievements any country has ever accomplished.
It was that achievement was achieved by President Trump and his administration. It was not a miracle that they were relying on, though we all hope for miracles during the COVID pandemic. They were hard at work to deliver a vaccine that everyone, including Joe Biden, mocked them for saying they could get within a year, and they got it within a year. That's why Joe Biden got a vaccine before he even took the oath of office.
Absolutely. So one of the things about Joe Biden that we have to keep in mind is he keeps offering suggestions which actually go against his own past history and his own narratives. Often Joe Biden engages in a transparent attempt to deceive the American people. He claims, for instance, that the American people are owed nothing less than the truth. Well, the truth is Joe Biden criticized President Trump for, quote unquote, believing in miracles. Now Joe Biden wants to claim credit for the miracle. And so it's difficult for the American people to unite behind an individual who continues to insist on his ability to deceive us.
You know, let me go to Teresa on line one, calling from Illinois. Hey, Teresa, welcome to Seculo.
Hi, Jordan. How are you?
Good.
My question is, how does the liberals get away with telling a lady that she has her pro-choice to kill an innocent baby, and me as a citizen can't make a decision whether I want to have a safe barbecue or not?
Yeah, it's it's control, Than. It's all about control. We can control whether abortion is legal or not, how legal it will be, and how late in your pregnancy you can have it, and we're going to encourage you to do it. It's control. It's controlling populations. They know that who abortion affects, so they're trying to control populations there. It goes right back to the eugenics-supporting founder of Planned Parenthood, Margaret Sanger. Same thing goes with making you feel like you're getting a gift from the government, a gift from Joe Biden by having a backyard barbecue.
It's about control, Jordan. It's also about what fits the narrative. It's not unlike the situation with signature verification. It's, you know, terrible when it comes to making sure that you have the right voter, but it's, of course, eminently important if you're going to throw out signatures on a recall. Jordan, I think it goes a lot to the conversation actually you had with Rick, where he makes this point a lot, Jordan, but the left really thinks that the brain trust of America is in Washington, D.C. and abides with politicians, when the truth is the beauty of the way that we govern is we recognize that the brain trust of America rests in individuals. It rests in an individual's right to look out for themselves, to look out for their neighbors. Yes, be deferential if you want to make a choice that is preferred by your neighbor. But Jordan, you don't make that choice to prefer your neighbor because Washington, D.C. and the people that are smarter than you tell you you must make it. Jordan, you make it because you love your neighbor and you make the individual choice to make it. But that really is the dichotomy we have in Washington, D.C. right now. Do the elites in Washington, D.C., the people who believe that they're smarter than everybody else, do they have the right and the authority and even the mandate to make decisions for the rest of us? One side here, Jordan, would say that they do, and the other side would leave that up to individuals as it's enshrined in the Constitution.
You know, I mean, folks, we got a lot to talk about. 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. President Trump put out the statement because I think, you know, it's right. He said, I hope everyone remembers when they're getting the COVID-19 vaccine that if I wasn't president, you wouldn't be getting that beautiful shot for 5 years at best and probably wouldn't be getting it at all. I hope everyone just remembers that. Joe Biden tries to make you forget history. They are trying to erase President Trump's achievements from history. The reason why you're getting the COVID vaccine or you already have gotten it is because of Operation Warp Speed. Operation Warp Speed was put in place by the Trump administration. People like Vice President Pence were involved. The president was involved. Alex Azar was involved. You had a whole host of government entities, and they worked. They put tremendous pressure on you. The president even said bullied those scientists at those companies to get a vaccine that would be tested, safe for the American people. And we were there before Joe Biden took the oath of office. He should get zero credit. He should be praising President Trump that he could be talking about a reopened America, but he's not talking about a reopened America. He's talking about backyard barbecues, something you never stopped. I mean, this is how liberal they are and out of touch they are with the normal, everyday person. All of us. I mean, they just forget that life has been going on. A lot of us have kids in schools. They might be wearing masks, but they're in schools. It's not like the only thing we've been waiting for is to get out of our house and have a barbecue. Thanks, Joe. We'll be right back. Second half hour. Give us a call. 1-800-684-3110. What do you think about Biden's comments about your barbecue?
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our matching challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
Secular, we're getting some of your calls queued up right now. We're getting back to this idea again. So President Biden, which by the way, still has not done a press conference. I don't know if one is scheduled. And Than, has he yet scheduled? I know they don't do a State of the Union their first year, but they usually do a major speech in a joint session of Congress. It's not called the State of the Union because that's not done until your first year has been completed. But usually you would have that on the timeline. Is that even on the timeline yet?
Yeah, it's not, Jordan. Actually, that's a pretty big topic here in Washington, D.C. They fully expected there to be an announcement on a date by this point, and there has not been. There's some speculation it's not going to happen at all. I think most people believe it will eventually, Jordan, but the fact that we don't have news or a date, that in and itself is news.
It has definitely surprised people. You don't have to do it, but usually you would, because it's that ultimate power to be able to stand before Congress and the American people's attention, and you'd want to utilize that as much as possible as president. But this president, they kind of keep hidden away and on teleprompter, don't have the press conference yet. I think, you know, all of that is just something that is going to wear on the media. And though the liberal media will take longer to turn, they will turn. Because if he's not giving them any news, they've got to get it all from Jen Psaki, and they've got to get it all from spokespeople. They will get sick and tired of that. They'll start turning as well. I mean, so here's again another bite from Joe Biden on beating the virus by date.
We know what we need to do to beat this virus. Tell the truth. Follow the scientists and the science. Work together. Put trust and faith in our government to fulfill its most important function, which is protecting the American people. No function more important. We need to remember the government isn't some foreign force in a distant capital. No, it's us, all of us. We the people.
How do you like that, Harry? The government is all of us. We are all the government. I mean, this is like their dream come true. They think they passed this $1 trillion plan, and like we are now all government employees, and we are all subject of, not only is the government, yes, it has a power. We, you know, of course it has authority. It has a role to play. But to say we are all government, I mean, that's the exact opposite of how most Americans want to live their life, is thinking that we're all just a bunch of pods by the government.
Absolutely. So at the end of the day, Joe Biden and the Democrats want to place us all under the control of autocratic, bureaucratic elites. So you would need permission from Washington, for instance, to have a barbecue. Joe Biden seeks to control our lives rather than allow us to live our lives consistent with the mandate of the United States Constitution. Mario Murillo has said, putting the government in control of our lives is like having the weasel guard the chicken coop. And so I think the American people should be wary of any attempt by Joe Biden and Nancy Pelosi to expand the control of their lives.
You know, the other part of that statement that I know you'll love is that trust the government, put your faith in the government. I mean, there's no place I have less faith in than the government itself, regardless of who's in charge. That goes from the top federal level down to the local government of getting things done. I always feel like I'm having to push and pull. Some local government's better than others, okay. But trust and faith in government is just repulsive to me.
You felt like you were in church there for a moment, Jordan. You start that sentence, yeah. Work together, put trust and faith in our, and usually that's followed by something like, you know, Lord and Savior. Instead, it's followed by the government. No, thank you, Jordan. My trust and my faith is not in the federal government. It's not in the state government. And like you said, that's regardless of who's in power. But when it's a government, Jordan, that wants to tell me down to the details of what I can and can't do, that is when my trust and faith in government actually wanes to the lowest level, never mind the highest.
Yeah, exactly. Let's take a call. Rose in New York, line 3. Hey, Rose.
Hi, Jordan. How are you today?
Good.
Okay, I saw the speech last night, and I could not believe, right after Joe Biden got through saying about truth, we need to have truth, he turns around, looks at the camera, and says, I will do everything I can to stop this virus. And yet, he's lying comes so easily to him. I don't think he knows the truth. Why can't he close down the border then and
right.
stop all these illegals from coming
over? Oh, Rose, because that's xenophobic. You're racist, Rose. Of course, I don't believe that any of that. That's just what they would call. That's what they would say. They're not even testing people. And if they are, I think they're still letting them in. So again, this idea that he's doing everything he can to protect us from the virus, no. And some of the things I think, you know, are not in his role. Some are, but remember when President Trump shut down the flights, shut down Chinese flights specifically, he was called xenophobic. He was a racist. And then Biden did it. Biden did the same thing. It's just like saying there's no miracles and then saying there was a miracle. You can't have that both ways. It's not miracles. It was a tough, hard President Trump who went to those companies and said, you better, we're going to get you this funding. You better deliver within a year. And guess what? They did. Let's take the final call of the day. Linda online for calling from Massachusetts. Hey, Linda.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good.
Good. When I watched that speech last night, my husband doesn't like it when we watch any of those things because he gets upset when I get upset. But
yeah.
Boy, did I get upset. I was ready to throw up. The whole thing about telling the truth to the American people when we've got Hunter and his brother and everybody else going on with China and
yeah.
all this other stuff and sneaking through all this legislation, but then also having the entire thing be nothing but pulling on the heartstrings of those who have probably really suffered a lot during this thing, and then coming up with absolutely no solutions as far as I could tell, and lying about the whole vaccine availability. I was just like, what are you talking about? How can the people not see this?
Yeah. Well, I think you're exactly right. I think there were no concrete solutions. It was just do what you should do, which is go get the vaccine. Well, they need to make it a little bit easier for people, but in a lot of places you can. Not everywhere. Open it up to more people when you can. Hopefully that's by May. Again, I think a lot of us had the same feeling. We all did. It was just, this was a speech that said his goal is not big enough. His goal is backyard barbecues. That's not enough for us. Now, we're going to be off the air, but Governor Cuomo in New York has got a COVID press conference, but he's also saying a big announcement. He is under significant bipartisan pressure to resign as governor. He has said he is not going to up until today, but when you say you have a big press conference and a big announcement, then I think we all have to wonder what that may mean. So you want to check that out. If you're listening to us live, we are noon to 1 Eastern time. If you're listening live, you probably want to tune in to a news source soon to find out what's going on, especially if you live in New York or the tri-state area, what's going on with Governor Cuomo. We will, again, I think a packed show. Got it all down into you. We got Rick Rudell this week. We had Mike Pompeo on a few times. Got so much information out there. Our again, presentation to the United Nations. If you heard some of it on the radio broadcast today, that's up at aclj.org as well. So I encourage you, take part. You know, as we go into the weekend, take part in our matching challenge. Double the impact of your donation to the ACLJ in this matching challenge month of March. Whatever you donate is effectively doubled. Donate today online at aclj.org. We'll talk to you Monday.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's matching challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.